Welcome to From Zero to Millions, Accounting Edition. I am Bilal Mihana.
And I'm Kelly Roars. We're here to share our wealth of knowledge on running a public accounting firm. Whether you're a seasoned CPA, an aspiring accountant, or a business owner seeking financial guidance, join us for valuable insights and practical advice.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of From Zero to Millions Accounting Edition. Bilal and I are here by ourselves and we are ready to chat about private equity and the future of public accounting.
I'm excited about this episode because this is something new that I would say happened a couple years ago in the accounting world. Usually accountants and account industries are very boring businesses. And they're getting attention right now from PE companies, which means a lot of money will get funded, a lot of companies will get funded, and disruptions will happen. How? We don't know. But I know disruptions will happen in the next 5-10 years. And it's already happening at a small level with small firms, virtual firms, and stuff like that. But how will that trickle up to big firms? And now we've seen it recently with the Baker Tilly buyout by a PE company. How will they change the way they do accounting? And that's interesting to see how that develops and compared to other industries and business.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to talk about on here today. We have a lot of questions that we're going to throw back and forth to each other. Bilal and I's experience in the dental world and watching what's happened with private equity swallowing up all of these small dental practices. And what's happened to their industry gives us a little insight on what could happen in public accounting.
I agree. The physician world has already been active in the PE industries for a long time. And for the past, I'll say 5 years, PE has been involved in dental practices. And they tried this back probably in the 80s and 90s and they failed. But now they're back at it again and they're more successful now. Accounting and dental, I would say, very similar, where they're very independent. You need the dentist to work in the practice. You need the accountant to work in the accounting field. You need the CPA for the audit to sign off on those things. So it's very similar ways, but because things has been changing past, let's say 5-10 years, where firms have become more virtual and easier to work with other clients across the states. Now, as a firm, you don't have to be local. You don't have to hire local. And you can stretch it out. And now you can get any client you want throughout the whole country, sometimes throughout the whole world. If you're in e-commerce, you have clients in Europe, Africa, Asia, everywhere, Australia, that will have business in the U.S. market. So things are changing. And with the news with about 3 years ago, Pilot, one of the accounting firm, bookkeeping accounting firms, raised $100 million from Amazon. That was a big deal, right? They want to be a fintech accounting firm, which in my mind at that time when they raised that money, they were not doing anything special. All they were doing is that same thing we're doing, connecting a bookkeeping with bank accounts and with a Fathom software or with a Slack. And so all the basically a bunch of softwares on top of each other that they don't own any of them. And they raised a lot of money because they know the small business market is huge, and they were going after the small business market. And now Baker Tilly being bought out by PE is also a big sign of where this accounting industry is going.
I have some comments on this, but I'll let you go first. What made private equity have an interest in public accounting? And you did say you've got this virtual world that we're living in, but I do think that it's a lot more than that.
When you say a private equity, they invest in typically medical fields. And mainly what they would look for is stability and some cash flow. So accounting industry does have stability and does have cash flow. And the accounting industry as a whole is better than the medical industry because you don't need doctors to pay $200-300 grand a year to be an accountant. And I think mainly because it has become a virtual world that you can hire from anywhere in the world at a cheaper rate to do the same services. And they looked at it and it's like, okay, if Baker Tilly has 5,000 employees, we can hire 5,000 employees in India or Philippines or anywhere in the world, and they can do all the grunt work, and we can do triple the revenue with fraction of the payroll. And you're going to have stability no matter what. But what happens now, you increase cash flow. Also, what will change, and you have to see that next 5 years, how will big utility be structured? How would the partner be incentivized? And that will be a huge, I'd say, sign of which directions the accounting industry is going.
Yeah, before we get into that, I do want to say, I think that the accounting industry is so attractive for private equity because it's so broken. I think they probably see that there is so much opportunity, right? Can't find staff and people are afraid to hire overseas, so they can swoop in and do that very easily. They see that there's not enough of us out there. We all know that there's an abundance of clients available.
True.
And everybody needs to file a tax return. And we know that in the last 4 years, since COVID, that there has been an increase in small businesses, new business owners, right? So more tax returns are going to be required, more financial statements, more accounting. I think that they were like, hey, you know what? We could really profit off this. There's all these dying accountants. There's not enough new accountants. People are afraid to enter the industry because they don't like the lifestyle. So we can go in here. We can change this. Let's show them our money and hope it works out.
I think everything you mentioned is spot on. And I think that's a way better insight than what I said. But on top of that, they see all this potential opportunities for them. And it will work out. I think we are less demanding than doctors. And we don't expect seven-figure salaries for the junior-level staff. Yes, I think the biggest one is finding people. And I think they figure out that because everything's become virtual, it's easier to get people from outside. And now, how will they handle the partner person? How will they handle the person who manages the client? Would it become like a consulting firm, or will they add other revenue-based services that will get a higher average per client?
I don't know. It's tough because we've seen what's happened with private equity and dental, right? There are good things that have come, but there are also bad things because a lot of them are run like farms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't like working in that environment and stay for a short period of time, which then also doesn't really make customers happy or certain types of customers because people still really do value personal relationships and consistency. And people want to be treated like a person, not just a number. So I'm going to do a little shout out here to Mike Malinick, who's on our podcast a couple of episodes, and he posted about this private equity buyout. And I gave a little bit of a hot take on this. I think that a lot of people are very excited for private equity to be entering into accounting, probably because of the dollar signs. But on the flip side, I'm just going to say here, I think that they're going to be very focused on what the bottom line is. So like you said, there's going to be a lot more outsourcing. There's going to be a lot more cutting costs. And what does that mean for the employees? I think it's going to be bad in some sense. They're going to say, hey, yeah, we still want you to work these 90 hours. And we're only going to pay you this. And we're also going to pay somebody in India $5 an hour, whatever the rate is.
Potentially. I was interviewing for a position the other day, and this guy was working at KPMG, and he was working 80 hours a week throughout the whole year for a good busy season.
Wow.
70, 80 hours a week. And he wants to leave because he's expecting a new child, and he doesn't want to do that.
That's unsustainable.
Yeah, exactly. But he left a mid-sized firm to work for KPMG for higher pay. And now after 2 years, he wants to get out because the higher pay is not the only thing. He still expects a higher pay. So would you pay the guy what KPMG is paying him, but at 40 hours a week? So there's this balance. Where would you go?
That's a good question. How much was he getting paid?
He didn't tell me exactly, but I would say he asked for about $85,000,
that's it?
Yeah, but he was working 80 hours a week. So if I bring him in at 40 hours a week,
Oh, gosh. Of course I would hire him at 40 hours a week for $85,000 a year.
But that's how much he's getting right now.
So that doesn't matter. First of all, I don't know, maybe because you are in a different locality. Obviously, we both work virtual firms, but like, yeah. I 100% would hire somebody from Big Four for $85,000 for 40 hours a week. That's crazy.
Yes. Now, if you look at it, for example, he doesn't have any personal return experience. He doesn't have any S-Corp experience. He only done partnerships.
Just partnerships.
Just partnerships.
That's tough, but like you still, unfortunately, anything that you get from Big Four is going to be pigeonholed. But yeah. Like somebody with 3 to 5 years of tax or public accounting experience is definitely going to be in that like 85 to a $125 range.
I agree.
Because this is what the environment has created. Does it mean that it is a bad thing or a good thing? I'm not sure because I definitely think that people are getting overpaid. However, I want people to live and not worry either. So I'm very much of an abundance type of mindset. So I want to pay more than what the average rate is. It's definitely up for debate.
I think my biggest worry is that he doesn't have those experiences.
Yeah.
And two, he jumped ship the past three years.
Yeah, that's not good either.
And I was like, okay, if I bring him in, and after a year, he looks at elsewhere and the 10% bump, 20% bump. Post-COVID made me worry about a lot of those things. Because I did try hire people last year and they left. They were not good because they worked at 3 different firms in 4 years. They come in, they never learn anything. You never go deeper into the topics, into the tax returns to know a lot of things. Because if you jump in, if you're at a firm 1 year, the first 6 months is honeymoon phase. And then they try you out for different things to build the trust. But after you leave, if you leave after a year, that trust has not been built into for them to give you a lot more work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rethinking right now what you told me. So
I know we went on a little riff there. I'm getting a little sidetracked. Sorry.
But back to the PE, to your point, to make enough cash flow and be profitable, will they make them work 140 hours? Will they pay them $80,000-$85,000 a year and, hey, I want you to work 60, 70 hours a week? Will they accept that? Big firms, the way they make you accept that is because of all this branding. They make you feel that you are part of something, right? When I worked at Deloitte, I felt good.
You're like, I'm working for Big Four. Look at me.
Yeah. Initially, the first week.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably how everybody goes in there. Haven't you seen the Big Four accountant on Instagram?
and their onboarding is awesome. They have a good onboarding. I love their onboarding. And I wish I can afford to do it.
Stanley Cups for everybody.
They do make you feel this way and they bring you in this way. And then, you know, will they use the same ways of bringing with the PE companies doing the same thing? But initially, I would say, and the industry in general is looking bright because right now, back to valuation on how accounting firms get valued. Most accounting firms or all accounting firms get valued based on revenue. So if you do $100,000 a year, typically you either sell for 100% to 120%. And they've been going up little by little because I've been looking at firms for sale for the past couple of years. Virtual firms get sold at 150. 120 to 150 of revenue. It doesn't matter what's the cash flow look like. It's all about revenue base.
Which is silly.
It is. Because if I'm doing $1 million in revenue and I'm bringing home $500,000 and you're doing $1 million in revenue and bringing home $200,000, we are both virtual firms. We'd be both sold at 150, probably 140, 140% of revenue.
Yeah. And if you have 500 clients and I have 1,000 clients, that makes a big difference too.
Yeah. So you're paying, the guy buying your firm is paying like 7x and the guy buying my firm is paying 3x. Will that change? We have to figure out how they value it bigger till. I don't know if it's public knowledge or not, but if they invested almost $1 million into it, based on what I read, the bigger deal is projecting to do $2 billion this year in revenue. So they did probably buy 100% revenue. And what's the cash flow for that? Did they 5x, is it 100x, 10x? If they do 2 billion and netting 10%, that's 200 million. So it's about 5x.
At the end of the day, it's really TBD on how this is going to work out, right? You brought up pilot being super funded, and we have all of these big companies that try to push through these products, and we've seen AI come around now, and we've got TurboTax that's interactive, and we've got all of these things. And it still, in my opinion, mostly doesn't compare to having a real relationship with your client, at least for small businesses. For big corporate companies, which are really the ones that are using these large accounting firms, we'll see. It will be determined in the future. But how are these private equity firms going to keep staff? That's going to be interesting. And I guess one of the ways that these larger firms are restructuring the way that they're enticing their employees is actually by forming C corporations and offering employee stock options.
Yeah.
So as opposed to waiting the 5 to 10 years to be partner, you actually could be getting your foot in the door much earlier to really be part of the long game here. It's maybe that's going to be more enticing for people to stay and not do the bounce around. And I got to work at a different place every year or two.
Yeah, I would say, how will accountants react to that? Would that work out if you do a survey among on your LinkedIn page? Mm-hmm. What would accountants prefer, to be a partner and wait in 10 years or get stock options right away when you enter the door? That's interesting. Maybe that's what they look next 5-10 years, that this industry will go towards more fintech, more technology, more virtual. Pilot is still standing after 4 years. That says something, because usually if the startup gets funding that much money, usually they fold after 2-3 years. So them being still on point, I know what they, I used to see them on Facebook all the time doing ads, and I stopped seeing them on Facebook.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They haven't formally failed. And I know nothing about Pilot, so no offense to anybody who works at Pilot, or if you hear this, I would love to know more and see how everything's going. But I saw so much social media on this company 2 years ago, and now radio silence. I haven't seen anything.
They should do a lot of advertising on Facebook. I used to see them all the time.
Listen, I think there's a lot of people out there right now that maybe these older firm owners that have been in this for a while, not really being able to keep up with the changes in accounting with technology and pricing and staffing, who think, wow, this industry sucks. I don't want to be here. I don't want to work long hours. I don't want to sit at my desk all day long. Don't enter the industry. However, I think we could both look at it on the flip side. And I think this is where private equity is coming from. They're very smart. They wouldn't invest $1 billion into something that's going to fail. There's nothing but opportunity here. And I feel like we have videos of me saying that on another podcast, but there really is nothing but opportunity to build a firm that you want, or join a firm that you want, or make it what you want because of the potential with clients. Of course, there's a bunch of hurdles that we're all dealing with. We even commiserated before we started the call on staffing issues. So yeah, there's a lot of issues, but really let's look at the glass half full here and let's see what happens, private equity. Let's give it a go.
100%. And the biggest thing is that it's in the right direction. The virtual world accounting firm is going in the right direction. The pricing is going up on average, and having all those things work out this way, and having now PE companies buying other public accounting firms. For a person starting out right now, for a person that has a small firm, if you're smart and savvy, there are opportunities to buy firms. Because right now, I mean, think about it. If you buy a firm, you can pay as low as 10% down, maybe 5% down. So banks do trust the accounting firms that don't go under. Mm-hmm. So they're giving you money to buy firms. And if you go and want to buy a restaurant right now, most banks won't give you money. But if you want to go buy a accounting firm, banks will line up to give you money. So that's a good sign. But I think the biggest difference is that is going on in the future is that more accounting firms are using softwares, they're using tech to build their firms. They're using outside people to build their firms. Their prices are going up. Their cash flow is more. Typically, accounting firm can cash flow 50% easily. So those things matter, okay? And
yeah.
If you are savvy enough to build a firm doing $20, $30 million a year, $40 million a year, $50 million a year, you can cash out easily, mm-hmm. right? Now there's people that will buy you out. Before, the only people that buy you out were other accounting firms. So now there's a new buyer in the market besides an accounting firm that will buy you out. So you have competition. Will valuation go up? Because now you have two people want to buy you out. There's an accounting firm, there's a PE company. And now the price is already expensive based on revenue. Will it go up more and more?
That's such a good question. And it makes sense from the perspective of PE getting involved that it may go up. However, my gut says no, because what are these people who are selling? What do they actually have? What are the bones? What do your clients look like? What kind of technology do you have? How many people are you seeing in person? What does your staff look like? You could get absolutely screwed buying another firm when I could create my own firm and my cash flow is 50%. In 3 years, I've created an extremely profitable firm. Why would you buy something else that you need to inherit a bunch of problems? Okay, guys, I think this was a really great conversation on private equity today. Thanks so much for joining us, Bilal. Another wonderful episode. Stay tuned for more.
If you've been loving the energy and insights we bring to each episode, we'd love to hear from you.
Head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and written review to let us know what your favorite part of the show is.
Your feedback helps us reach more professionals who could benefit from the show and create more episodes you love.
We can't wait to hear your thoughts.